busy time of season. We call it a season, a busy time for sure. But I tell you, church is the place to be during this season. Just recounting and recalling everything and that the Lord's done for us. And it's hard to believe that we're approaching the end of another year. It just seems like it just keeps going faster and faster, as we've said many, many times. But a lot of good things to look forward to, a lot of things to be in prayer for. Again, let's remember Brother Robert, Sister Mildred, always be in prayer for them, and just a lot going on in our families and our church family. And but if you'd like to, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1. I'll let you be turning there while I get started. And I did want to say this too. I had a request to say thank you to Sister Karen and Sister Brandy for the ladies' get together yesterday. That was really enjoyed, and they wanted me to share that with you and let you know it was appreciated. And you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes with things sometimes to get things together, but I'm thankful for people who are willing to do that, do the behind the scenes and do things. And it's important for us to get together and fellowship and be together and just be able to talk. And I'm glad and thankful for that, and those who are able to do that and come together. If you remember last week, we're preaching on the perfect gift, talking about Jesus Christ. And when you think about how big he is to this earth, to you and me as human beings, he is a timeless gift. He's a gift throughout all time. And it's not just something for a day, it's for every day, and it's for eternity. And I kind of want to pick up where we left off in Matthew there, last time, talking about the genealogy, showing his rightful place on the throne. Again, the book of Matthew being written to those in the nation of Israel who are seeking their king, and this would show that genealogy to prove that Jesus Christ is in that lineage. And you'll see the language that's used throughout the Gospels. It reaches out to different people. You say, well, why are you using the Gospel of Matthew if it's to the nation of Israel and not somebody else? You'll find that each of these Gospels will speak to us. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one Savior, and that being Jesus Christ. And what you'll see, a common denominator here, is what you'll see is each gospel leads you to the same person. You might see it in a different way or come to know it or understand it in a different way, but it comes back to the same person. And it helps us to understand that. And I find each year as I study, thinking about, I think about Easter, I think about Christmas, and I'm thinking, Lord, these folks have heard this for so many years. How in the world can we make it anew, give them something new? We'll use it like that. And the Lord immediately spoke to my heart, and he said, well, Jason, there's nothing new to share. The story is what it is. Brother Norman, it doesn't change. Now, here's the thing. There are things in this account, in all the Bible, there's things in this in our Bible that we have that will never change. You might hear something new, being that you might have heard it for the first time, but it was always there. It's always there. And I'm talking about if we stay in the context of the Bible, not changing anything, as we learn and as we grow each year, we should learn something new and know something more. I'll take it as far as to say, each time we leave church, we should have learned, hopefully learned something maybe we didn't know the time before, the day before. And it's not that you're hearing something new. It's just like, well, I didn't know that before, but it was always there. You think about how big the Bible is. There is always something new to learn and something to pull from. And now when you look at this account here, I know what we are used to seeing. When you think about the nativity scene, when you think about the birth of Jesus Christ, where does probably everybody's mind go to? I didn't know this was going to be here, but it's here, right here. That's what I think of when I think about Christmas, the Christmas story. Think about the nativity scene. I do like the Charlie Brown rendition of it too. That's no secret. I do enjoy that. But this is what I see, and this is what I think of. But you know, there was a lot behind the scenes that took place before this right here. This, we see a lot of times, if we're not careful, we try to spiritualize things, and that's not for us to do. I was talking to Brother Daniel this morning, and I said, you know, here's the thing, maybe even shared it, but here's the thing, we should never try to over-spiritualize or spiritualize, but always let God put the punctuation on what's being taught. He's the one who brings it in. We can try to make something happen or do something like that, but that's the responsibility or the job, the working of the Holy Ghost. He's the one who adds the exclamation point where it needs to be. There's times that I've been studying thinking, man, this is so good. Lord, you have to bring it out because I will mess it up. I'll get in a big way and I'll give away the punchline before I'm supposed to. Lord, you order it because I don't want to mess it up. When you look at the account here in Matthew and what it's talking about, you get to see how things were coming together. You know, we get to see the human element in all of this. It was God's will from the beginning. There had to be a way for it to be done. But you know that still there was that working with the human element. And that's where the failing point is. It's not on God's side. It's on our side, the human element side. That's where things usually go awry and mess up. It's if we have the choice to get things right or wrong. And I tell you, this is a story here, an account this morning. You'll see part of the law in it. The law is introduced and mentioned here just a little bit. You'll see absolutely grace. You'll see the introduction here being given of Jesus Christ, but it's an amazing account because the way this opens up in Matthew, it says it was on this wise. It happened this way. That's the title this morning, On This Wise. So if you look at it, you say, well, how did the birth of Jesus Christ actually take place? It was on this wise. This is how it happened. And I was, you know, a lot of times what you will see in the older, in some of the other books, it'll be given a name either of a church or you'll see the author. But it's interesting that Matthew is the one writing this. You'll see it Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But it's talking about two different people. It's not an autobiography. It's not about themselves. They didn't write it themselves. Well, then who told them? How did Joseph come and say, hey, Matthew, let me tell you how this happened? I want us to see this morning the power of the Holy Ghost in his scripture. These things here, the way this account happened was ordained by God. You'll see it mentioned in the Old Testament. That's something that amazes me about God's word is how things come together and happen. It cannot in any way be man-made. It's not something that you can fabricate or make up. And when you put these pieces together each year, each time we study it, it seems to get larger and larger. It seems to be just more and more supernatural when you see the blessing of it. But I want to look at Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. And we'll pray and we'll get started here this morning after I read these scriptures. But now this is the announcement. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Plainly written. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him into his wife, and knew her not until she had brought first her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, God, just so thankful for all that you do for us. God, I thank you for all your blessings. God, I just thank you for your presence. Being here with us, God, us being able to feel you, Lord, and your presence. And God, we just want to follow you and be obedient unto you. God, I pray and ask for your help this morning. Pray that I not say anything out of line. Lord, always, always help me to be in context, God, and guide me, guide my heart. And Lord, help us here today. Lord, you know what needs to be accomplished for each one. And Lord, it's just so good just together with your people and be around your word and just learn and study and see these things for ourselves the way that they happened in your word, that we can meditate on it dwell on it, God, and it can help us. It'll strengthen us as Christians, as people, and give us a guidance, a guidebook for our life, how you want our homes to run, our marriages to run, and how you want us to be, God. And I just thank you for that so much. Lord, I thank you for this account. I thank you for all the information, Lord, that you put in your word, God, that we can see it and we can know it for ourselves and have a better understanding about how big you are, about how big creation is and what part we have to play in it, God, and what you expect from us. You give us everything that we need in your word. And Lord, I thank you so much for that. Lord, I thank you for the plan of salvation. I thank you for your precious son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you so much for all that he's done for me. He's wonderful. He is great, God, and I just thank you so much for him. God, I pray you go with us here today. Accomplish what you have to accomplish. Bind the devil, keep him away, God, and just I pray that your will be done here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So you see right from the very beginning what this is about. You see the genealogy, as we talked about last week, and as we went over that, it gives the explanation of who Jesus is, the lineage that he came from. But you see in Matthew, you actually see the genealogy side of Joseph. What you see if you go to the book of Luke, you're going to see there that it's the genealogy of Mary. And so you see that it actually comes and ties together that Jesus is the rightful owner of the throne. And one day he's going to take it, and I believe that day is going to be very, very soon. But before we get there, we're talking this morning on the topic of the birth of Jesus Christ, how this happened. Now, this would be something I want us to look at it today, maybe and literalize, and just kind of think through this. This, I want you to know, this is actual people. It's not the statues that we see here. This is people like you and me that had decisions to make. They had faith that they had to extend. They had to extend trust. They had to put their confidence in something supernatural. When you see this part here, this is one of the first parts that we come to know as the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important that we know this. It's one of the most compelling things I've ever heard and understood in my life. And there's a question I want to ask you. I want to ask you this. Through your knowledge, your understanding, how many people do you know, how many women do you know that were virgins who gave birth? Think on that. Have you ever in the headlines, and I'm not talking about the National Enquirer and some of that stuff, I'm talking about for real, how many times have you heard that this has happened? Oh yeah, I know so-and-so. Yeah. I want you to think about that. This is a supernatural event from the Holy Ghost. Now, you've got natural people, Brother Dale, like you and me. We got to comprehend this. Now, here's the thing. A lot of times what we get locked into is we don't believe what we don't understand. Does that make sense? Think about that. If I don't understand it, I don't believe it. Now, if we take that, we're going to miss a lot of the Bible, because I'm going to tell you, there's a lot in here I do not understand. I don't understand it. But by faith, I trust it. You see, when you take the Word of God, if there's enough in here, gospel, the gospel, and you believe those parts about how to be saved, and you accept Christ, and you trust Him by faith, and you're now saved, if that part is true, is not all the other parts true? Some way, we've got to find a way that we, by faith, trust these things even when we don't understand it. You got to understand here with Joseph. You got to see with him. He did not understand what was going on. He was a natural man. I believe he's a good man. I believe he was a great man. Just to be able to kind of go through some of these things that you see here, we look at verse number 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When he went as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." Now they were espoused. This was a very different time than what we live in. I think we need to understand that, because sometimes we associate things with today or our circumstance, but Jewish tradition was a little bit different. There was an espousal period. I know we have that today. But here, they were very strict in what they followed. It wasn't anything goes, and this one run with that one for a while, and this one run with this one for a while. They were committed to one another.
And it was important that they knew that. It was the way God intended it to be. You look at the law side of it here. Did you know that, be honest, you know, if a man was to marry someone and to find out later that maybe she had not saved herself for him, that he could rightfully get a divorce and she could be stoned? Well, the law is cold, isn't it? See, it was kind of looked at like it was a form of trust or a form of swindling. It was a form of, you tricked me and I didn't know this, and now I don't want to be with you anymore. The law said, that's fine. See, Moses granted that under those circumstances. Now, I want to tell you this, God's not for that. God's not for that, but that is what it's in there. I want you to see this. There's a few things that we need to see and pull out, and I'll pull that out a little bit later, but they were espoused. You had Mary and Joseph together, and they were going together, and they had not yet been fully married. Well, what do you mean by that? The consummation of the marriage is when they came together and had the relationship. Now, you say, preacher, you're getting off in the weeds. No, this is why it's important that mom and dads talk to their kids and explain these things to them. We talk about private devotions at home. This is an important thing to talk about. Saving yourself for your spouse and doing that, that's just as important today as it was back then. You see, it leads to problems if you're not careful. A lot of things, and I'm not getting in the weeds. This is the literal interpretation of what the Bible gives. I know we see this. This is the behind the scenes. This is what the Bible gives us. They were espoused to be married, and before they came together, before they had that relationship together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this puts Joseph in a unique situation. Now, I know men, the way this is written here, I know that you can love your wife, you can love the person you're with, but I think he had a question mark. How can this be? I've trusted Mary. I've put my confidence in her. How can this be? Something's wrong, but I love her. I love her so much. You look back and see some of the things and what it says here. It says in Deuteronomy, again, under the law, 24:1, when a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it shall come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it in her hand and send her out of his house. You know how cold that is? That's bad, isn't it? But you see the count here. That's the law. That's the part I want you to see. That's what the law says. When you look at Joseph here, he loved his wife. He loved Mary. I know hadn't fully come together just yet before they come together, but he loved her and he wanted to be with her. And then what we see here in verse 19, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He's like, Lord, I'm in a mess. I love this woman. I've trusted this woman. I don't want her to have any harm. I don't want any bad thing to happen to her. How can I do this privately and not make a big scene out of it? But something's not right. Here's the thing. You say, Jason, you're talking all this bad talk. It's in the Bible. This is how it happened. You and I have got to realize the situations that they were in, situations we can find ourselves in. The Bible's real. It's alive. It's a living document that helps us to navigate through our lives. And that's where Joseph found himself. What am I going to do? How am I going to work this out? Just like he did for Joseph here, you think about the Holy Ghost, he can interact and he does interact in your life and he wants to. He wants to help every single one of us. We pray for guidance. We pray for help. We pray for the Lord to lead us in things. And this is exactly what the Holy Ghost is doing in their life. He starts talking to Joseph. He says, Joseph, I know what the law says. I know what it says. But you're going to have to trust me. What I see here with Joseph, and you look at the Old Testament Joseph, you know who he's a type of? He's a type of Jesus Christ. And what I see here with this Joseph, I see a man who's a godly man, and I see he is wanting to extend grace. I think even at the inception of what we see here, you can already see the workings of grace taking place. Think about how powerful that is. I want you to see and think about this. Think about how powerful it is that how in the world could I forgive somebody like this? How in the world could I do this? But you see the power of the Holy Ghost already at work. And he's saying, Lord, help me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you and see what you would have for me to do. Lord, help me. Help me to see this. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter number 1 for just a minute. I want us to go there for just a second. We'll come back here if you want to hold your place, but let's go to Luke chapter number 1 and look at verses 26 through 35. This right here was actually a sign that was being able to be given. If you go back in Isaiah chapter number 7, you'll see King Ahaz, who was not a good king. I'll give you a little background history there. You see some prophecy in this. He was not a good king. He was seeking a sign that the kingdom of Judah, in which he ruled over, would not be overtaken. And this is a sign that they would not be overthrown. And that's what you see, is that there would be a child born of a virgin. And this was come to be, so there was a lot that hinged on this birth taking place the way it was supposed to. Luke 1, 26, and it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. You see, each time, I want to show you something here just as far as Bible translation. What you'll see in the King James Bible, it refers to Mary as a virgin. What you'll find in some other translations, it refers to her as a young woman. I want you to know there's a difference. You can be a young woman and not be a virgin. But that's the power and the magic of what, not magic, the power of what is taking place here. And I want you to see that. The supernatural aspect of this here. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art of highly favored, of the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when he was with him, and when she was with him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind, what manner of salutation was this? You think when an angel coming to speak to someone, how powerful that would be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. As you see these things come together, Mary found favor with God, with the Lord here, found favor. And you see that she's going to have a son. And look at verse number 32. Now, as I was reading this, church, the Lord just really blessed my heart with this. Trying to explain, put this in Joseph's mind and what was going on. And then also now talking with Mary, trying to explain unto her who Jesus is. He's saying, trust me. Trust me. Brother Dale, this is one of the biggest things that jumped out to me. He will be great. Now you think about that. Think about that just a minute. Think about Jesus Christ. All these things going on. Boy, I tell you, church, he sure is great to me. Think about that. Brother Curtis, he just kind of slipped that in there. He's going to be great. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is great to me. You talk about somebody that comes along and helps you when it's the worst time of your life, the hardest time of your life. He shall be great. And he's talking about this little baby now, this little baby that we see. When you see that and you see Emmanuel, God with us, you see how this is displayed. And he goes on to say, he shall be great. But I want you to know something. He's great right now. But you imagine how great he's going to be when you see him sitting on his throne. Sister Glenda, you imagine that one day. You imagine looking up there and there he is. You see, this is what we get to see in a lot of time right here. With this time of year, we see this. He's sitting on his throne right now. He shall be great. I want you to know this morning, God is great. Jesus is great. I want you to understand that. Not lose sight of that this morning. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David and shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We think about eternity. Remember last week talking about the white throne judgment. What takes place there? How if the lost person finds themselves there, after that is eternity. Well, I want you to see, for the saved person, there's also eternity. I'm talking about a perfect kingdom. A kingdom without end. A kingdom that's going to last forever and ever and ever. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And I just want to stop right there. When you see those words and trying to explain things, I've said this before, this holy thing, why would somebody use that? Why would the Bible use that as a way of explaining who Jesus Christ is? There's nothing else like him. There's nothing else that can compare to him. I don't know if you've seen this verse before, but I want you to remember this verse. This is the first time I remember reading it and studying over this. But Jeremiah 31 and 22, again, another prophecy verse. This goes right along with Luke 1:35. Talking about Israel here, given this prophecy here. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? Talking about Israel, how long are you going to go the path that you're going, the way that you're going? I could ask you that this morning. If you're here this morning and you're out of the will of God, how long are you going to go that way? I could ask you this morning if you're lost, how long are you going to go that way? That's the way he's talking about here, what Jeremiah is explaining. And then he says here, for the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Now, I'd never seen that verse before, seeing the prophecy of it. He's talking about a new thing. You see how this ties together? You say, what's the new thing? Well, you see, we have the law. The Lord's doing a new thing. He came. He came at his birth, the very representation of what he's doing here at his birth, to come and be the propitiation for our sins. It's a new thing. It's a new way. You don't have to live in darkness anymore. If you look at Matthew, you got to think, prior to the book of Matthew, it was about 400 silent years. Everything fell silent. Then when the advent, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to this earth, or coming to this earth, changed everything. It's a new thing. Let's go back to Matthew. I want to finish out here. I'm finishing with this. You see some of the prophecy that was given there? Verse 19, we'll pick up right there and we'll go right on through. I won't be much longer. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You talk about some trust. You talk about being able to put your faith and confidence in God. This is one of those times. There's some times in our life you really just have to say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to work this out, but I'm trusting you with it. Lord, I don't know. I don't know what else I can do, but Lord, I'm trusting you with it. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, something that I had looked at here, Jesus is the only one that could die for the sin of the world. The only one. Did you know not one other person could die for the sin of the world? You say, yeah, preacher, I know that. But think about this. The only sin you can die for is your own. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about the penalty of that. You see the law, you see grace, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, everything is coming together. You think about all the trust that had to be put in. You think about what was going on in the hearts in minds of Mary and Joseph. See, here's the thing. Mary knew that she hadn't done anything. Now you look at Joseph. He had to trust. He had no other option but to trust and listen to what the Holy Ghost was telling him and put his faith and confidence in that. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold," and this is in Isaiah chapter number 7, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is being interpreted, "God with us." You see how these things came together. It had to be a certain way. It had to be done in a certain way, and it had to be brought into a certain vessel. I mean, that's the way God ordained it to be. It couldn't just happen. It had to come through the flesh, just like what you and I are in. And God chose to come down in this manner here, just by the moving and the power of the Holy Ghost. And you see what it says here in verse number 24. "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." He followed God's plan. He was willing to follow it. You know, it's easy to see these things here. You see our children walk in and you see those things. But I want you to think about the reality of everything that took place. Again, I say behind the scenes, but all these things that took place before this happened. And I'm going to close with verse number 25. "And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." He did exactly as he was supposed to do. You see how all of this come together. It's amazing to me when you see how this works together. If you look at things and read it quickly, sometimes you might miss things. But he pulled everything together. It's the working and the power of the Holy Ghost. If you will, stand with me this morning. I'll invite the ladies to come.